It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
We are so pumped to be recording episode 100. Hang the jersey from the rafters because this is a milestone we won't soon forget. We've got some fun sprinkled in with our usual hockey hot topics, plus Anthony LaPanta joins us to talk all things Minnesota Wild. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by Soda Stick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is season 3, episode 100.
Be sure to join the Marcus Foligno fan club by purchasing your official tee at sodastick.com. A portion of all proceeds will go toward the Janice Foligno Foundation. And don't forget to snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at sodastick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting "Let's play hockey" prior to the start of each game or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
From New Voice Studios.
Oh yeah, you betcha, let's go to the boat.
Discombobulate on the spot.
Part of the Talk North Podcast Network.
Fly out to Russia personally.
Jesse Pierce.
This is off the rails, we're only a couple already minutes in.
Alexis Pearson.
We're not going to throw batteries on the ice at, you know, Kirill Kaprizov. This is, we're not that crazy. Like.
Bar Down Beauties Podcast.
Was it about guys getting hammered down low night after night?
Like, everyone loves to crap on analytics, but the analytics do not lie here.
We are firing Fred at the top of the hour. More hits like tea. Tea.
Starts now.
We're not going to tell you how many times that took Alexis to record the rundown, but the main point we hope
puts
you
me
caught
on
out
blast of it, right off the bat.
Just right off the bat. Episode 100, baby. Let's go. Woo, woo. For those of you watching, you'll notice that Fred is our official mascot of the Bar Down Beauties. Please show the mug, hat, jersey, all available at sodastick.com, as well as that mug on Teespring. Before we dive into Minnesota Wild Talk with Anthony LaPanta in segment two, and before we talk a little NHL, we just wanted to say a huge thank you to all of you guys. 100 freaking episodes. Like, that just sounds insane to me, especially when we began this podcast right before a COVID pandemic, a worldwide pandemic that shut everything down. It's just absolutely tremendous to have reached this point, to have stayed consistent. And a lot of that is to you, because if you guys weren't listening, I hope we wouldn't keep going, because I'd just be sad and pathetic.
Always say though, we would do it if there was no one listening, but would we actually? Yeah. I think we would probably just stop if nobody was listening to us.
I know, Fred, you were the beginner of all of this, right? You were the one that was like, hey, I should get some really hot, smart women to talk hockey. And you found
I'm
Alexis
sure that
and
was
I.
The thought process.
No, then you asked a bunch of other people, and then you found Alexis and I down in the gutter, and it was great. Did you see us reaching 100 episodes?
I did see us reaching 100 episodes, oh, wow. But I knew it was only possible if it wasn't this mug as the star. That's so I was fair. Like, this is not going to get to a hundo.
Self-awareness is crucial to success,
yes.
I will say.
But
that.
I want to say I'm very disappointed with how you kicked off the intro of the episode. Because I went through and collected all of your hello hellos and made a monster out of it.
No, dude, Jesse, he sent this to me at like midnight last night. And
hello,
I literally was
everybody?
Like, what the F is this? Like, I was like, I'm literally going to have a nightmare after going to bed and after listening to this.
Do you hate my hellos now too?
No, I like them. What Fred did made them horrible though.
I was going to string them all together. So they were like in sequential order, all 100. And I realized this is like a 3 minute long clip. So instead I stacked them all on top of one another and created a monster. Are you ready to hear this?
I think so.
You're not ready.
I hope. Do we have to apologize to our audience?
We're gonna have to make
an will
explicit
after this.
Episode.
This will be a disclaimer.
Okay, here we go. Here's Fred. What was that? Wow. And this was at midnight you listened to this, Alexis?
This was, like, I said at midnight. I was up late. I was like, I have to do something for this 100th episode. This is, here it comes again.
It sounds like if you put like 300 Jessies in a room and they all said the same thing at the same time.
Which is
just,
a dream, right? I mean, a dream.
I tried to do 100 nice. I got to 50. I was like, that's enough.
I feel, hello, everybody.
50 Jessies starting
episodes. Honestly,
episode.
That's pretty life like, be the tone of that is pretty consistent.
I'm pretty consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, for like that many different like clips all together, that's, it sounds pretty like even.
Nice
yeah,
I was
work,
actually really impressed by it. So I know. There you go. You didn't do it though this episode.
I kind of forgot. I think I just kind of was so like thinking of like, oh, it's 100 episodes. Let's go.
Just put that, you that know, clip we'll, at the beginning instead.
Yeah,
Fred.
Put that clip at the beginning, please, Fred.
And then everyone we'll will click off immediately. They're like, I think I'm on the wrong show. This is not right. That's traumatizing.
Exactly. We'll have some cool social media graphics and different things released this week. It's Thanksgiving week too. So thank you to you for 100
extra
episodes.
Thankful this week.
Extra thankful this week because it really has been tremendous the way things have taken off and the way you guys have all responded. I honestly cannot say it enough from the bottom of my heart. It's been a really, really fun adventure. And I'm excited for, like, as I said, 100 seasons of this, right, guys? 100
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah. Beforehand, Jesse was like, yeah, 100 seasons. I mean, episodes. And I was like, yeah, what is it? Year 2062. And we've done like 5,000 podcast episodes. Yes. That would be
goals.
That would be a lot of episodes.
A lot of episodes. We're still not making much. Fred's still wearing the jersey. you know, yeah. So again, thank you. I solicited you guys to do something every single week for us. And no, I'm not going to ask you to subscribe, although you should. No, I'm not going to ask you to like, though you should. I'm not going to ask you to share, though you should. But I would love, love, love to hear from you guys, whether it's via email, social media, on when you started listening to Bar Down Beauties and why you started listening to Bar Down Beauties and maybe why you keep doing it. I mean, I know a couple of you have reached out and we do. We love the engagement we have. Like, again, we wouldn't probably do this without you guys.
You guys make it fun. Believe it or not, this is a job. Yes. You guys make it a fun job to do. And all the time we put into this, from Fred on the production side to Jesse and I doing stuff in front of the camera and Fred in front of the camera from time to time as well. It's a lot of work. And there's days where it's hard, but to see you guys engaging with us on social media, being excited to listen to episodes, when we get a big guest, you guys being excited that we got that person, those are the kind of things that, you know, make it worth coming back week after week. And what makes it fun and what makes it feel like not a job, because that was always my goal as a kid, was to do a job that didn't feel like a job. And thanks to you guys, this is that job.
That's so Gen Z or whatever generation
you
are.
That was so mushy. That was so mushy. Wow,
that was cute. Fred, words of wisdom.
It's been great.
Classic. I mean, this is why honest. We fire you. This is why we fire you.
You get that because you do fire me every single week.
True. This is true.
There's
no
job security. Why would I keep investing into it?
There is no job security.
We bring you back every week.
Especially after, I should have fired you after that hello montage, right? Like that should have been it. Like this is real now. This is getting real. No, we should probably get into topics. The reason that you guys listen to us every week, I imagine. You know, let's talk a little hockey. Again, Anthony LaPanta of Bali Sports North joins us to talk all Minnesota Wild things and reminds you that he's not in charge of Bali Sports North subscription. So quit at him in the Twitter sphere. Me too. I have nothing to do with that. So I want to first talk about Connor McDavid because drool, right? He's number 97, which is close to 100. So let's somehow tie that in. Mm-hmm. He had another highlight reel goal. Like I swear to God, I thought the video
it's like a copy and paste.
I thought it was on fast forward too. Like the way his feet move and his head, like it's mind blowing. Like, I don't know how, but somehow he gets faster and better every single year and almost every single game. Like Alexis, how do we have him? Can we have him? Can we take him?
I just need to know, what is that guy eating and drinking? What is in his water? Because I need to get on the Connor McDavid diet, because every single thing that guy does, like you said, it's like better every single time. It's like, how do you improve from what he did? The same play that we're talking about, you guys all saw it against the Winnipeg Jets, where he goes coast to coast, like speeds past four defenders, like they're literally mannequins, and scores a goal. He did it a week ago and everybody was like, oh my God, Connor McDavid, look at this. And then he does it again. It literally was like a copy and paste of each goal. And I'm like, how, you know, it's a shame he plays for Edmonton. Put that man, take Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and put him somewhere else. It's the SpongeBob, you know what? My new bit is going to be bringing in SpongeBob references. It's the SpongeBob reference where he's like, let's just take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else.
Oh, wait, you know what? I have a SpongeBob reference for you. I don't know if you saw what we got tweeted at last night. And this is leads into
bring it up.
My this Better Edge shout out.
That's
Better Edge.
Defamation.
BETTOREdge.com. I actually saw them last night at the game, and they showed me this meme, a SpongeBob meme, where there was one like really fancy restaurant and one not so fancy restaurant, and the fancy restaurant was hard to get into and the other one was super easy. And the fancy one was me on Tuesdays in Beat the Butte, and the other one was on Thursdays because Alexis loses very badly.
Salty Spittoon and Weenie Hut Juniors. Yes. I've never been compared to Weenie Hut Juniors before. This is the low light of my career. My lawyers will be in touch. This is a tough one.
If you want to win money, you play on Thursdays. If you want to try to like have some pride, you play on Tuesdays to try to take down the champ.
I don't even
want to
play anymore. I'm going to flip the game board. I'm angry.
Peter.
Did you see who is also participating in Beat the Buttes?
Yeah. Did you see Fred got one more right than me, and I will never, ever live this down.
That's just so great. It is so great. Again, if you guys haven't checked out Beat the Buttes over at Better Edge, it's so much fun. We have a great time every Tuesday. I play where you try to outpace me by placing over under bets on that night's line of games. Thursdays, you beat Alexis pretty much
every time. It's Beat the Butte, not Bully the Butte, you guys.
And you do the same thing with her. So we absolutely love it. Again, betteredge.com. Free $10 when you sign up with code Buttes, B-E-A-U-T-S. Obviously, if they've got other stuff, but Beat the Butte, do it. We'll see you there. You can listen to Bar Down Beauties in that app as well. So that was a SpongeBob reference. That was a segue
I'm proud. I'm proud of you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not. I would like to say I'm proud of you. Hopefully one day I can in Beat the Butte.
Maybe
hopefully.
Next Thursday. Probably maybe. Not.
I hope I can. moving on. I am also disappointed in Rick Bowness of the Dallas Stars because savage. You guys all know how much I love my Minnesota boys, right? And there are plenty of them in the NHL. Riley Tufte was actually the cover boy of a Minnesota Hockey Journal story I did back in like 2014. Love the kid. Nice kid. Blaine, Minnesota, UMD Bulldog. Definitely struggled at college after being Mr. Hockey here in Minnesota back his senior year. But he had made his NHL debut 2 games ago, comes into Minnesota, has a stand session with media for about 20 minutes talking about how excited he is to play in this game because he's in the lineup. It's confirmed. He's playing. He said he spends all of his NHL contract money to buy tickets for friends and family. Nick Bukestad, who's good friends with Riley Tufte, also spend some money to buy some tickets for family and friends. At about 4:30 p.m., Rick Bowness says, nah, never mind, scratched, doesn't play, and just a dagger in this kid's heart who was so excited. I saw Riley actually up in the press box, and you could just see on his face, like, I imagine there was embarrassment and shame and just anger. The issue I have with it, if it had made a difference, sure, but Riley's a fourth liner. Why wouldn't you just play him, Alexis? I can't get over it. Like, I'm not saying, yes, I get not doing sentimental things. Dean has done that with Callan Adams, and he's like, I don't care. Well, if we go to Brandon, Canada, maybe we'll play him, but I don't know. But like in that one moment, Rick Bowness said he the reason it changed last minute is because he was told that a few game time decisions were available. So what? Like, it's one player on the fourth line who's not making a difference in a game that you ended up losing 7-2. So I don't think Riley Tufte was going to be the problem there. But, yeah, I'm just mad, Alexis. I'm mad about it.
Well, us Minnesotans are softies, right? I think we'll be the first to admit that. We love a good reunion story. We love a good nostalgia story. And I agree. It is savage. I mean, John Tortorella, Rick Bowness, have they ever been seen in the same room? I mean, that is some savage shit. Like, he literally was like, you spent all your money? I don't care. Go sit in the press box. Like, that is like tough. That is tough. But at the same time, it's a business, right? And you're trying to win a hockey game. You're trying to do what you can do, what you think is going to be best for your team. But at the end of the day, like you said, Jesse, what's that really going to be a huge difference? It's not like, oh, he got the nod over Tyler Seguin, right? Like, it's like, okay, let's just take a step back here and, and see if this really would have changed anything. And granted, you don't know how that game's going to go, right? It could have been a one goal game.
Maybe he was going to score a hat trick. Maybe he would have scored,
Maybe they lost because he wasn't in the lineup. Yeah, that's what you get, Rick. So yeah, it is sad. It's like he literally got left at the altar. You spent all the money on the wedding. You bought a pretty dress. All your friends and family were there, and then the groom didn't show up. That's what happened to Riley Tufte, and it's tough. But hopefully, I think Rick Bowness said this, he'll get his chance in Minnesota sometime this season. So hopefully that that time is sometime soon, because you really feel for him, and you feel for his friends and family who are probably just so excited to go see him. And he doesn't get in the game. So yeah, that's savage. Savage award of the week.
To hate the Stars. Yeah, that's just
as whatever. If we needed another reason.
You didn't need another reason. shout out to Ryan Suter, who was actually very nice, remembered me, asked about my babies. I'm so glad I have made an impression with every NHL player in the wild, because I have children. So that is a lot. No, it was nice to see him. He was very jovial, seemed mm-hmm. okay, seemed he had moved on. I know he had said he was nervous about the return to Minnesota. He's like, it's just going to be awkward. I just don't know what to do. And so it was kind of funny. He's like, I'm glad we moved past that now. So there we go. There you have it. We will have much more Wild Talk coming up in segment two with Anthony LaPanta. So we're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with that.
It's hockey season, baby, and the best way to head into a new season is to be fully equipped with all the merch you need to cheer on your favorite teams. Oh, and some Bar Down Beauties merch too, right? Right. We've got you covered. Literally, head over to teespring.com where you can find all kinds of custom design Bar Down Beauties apparel, plus so much more.
Joining us now, the man of Bali Sports North, the voice that you all love to listen to for the Minnesota Wild, Mr. Anthony LaPanta. Tone, how are you doing?
Everything's great. It's great to be here with you guys.
Yeah. I forgot to add into your title, charcuterie board master, grill master, right? All of that stuff.
Well, we certainly have some fun with that. I don't know if it's a master, but we've learned a lot from mistakes over the years. No question about that.
You absolutely love to see it. Well, you know what? We'll get to the food talk later. Right now, let's start with the appetizer, which is the Minnesota Wild. Obviously, we're recording this on a Friday, coming off a huge 7-2 victory over the Dallas Stars. Goals galore. Kirill Kaprizov with 4 points. Anthony, you know, you're around the team all the time. You were there when Dean Evason had jumbled these lines to start that game, and kind of sending a message to Kirill Kaprizov. Message received, right?
Yeah, I sure thought so. I mean, when you looked at the way he structured things, I mean, there were some that made some sense. I mean, putting Eriksson Ek back together with Foligno and Greenway was something that had success in the past. And I thought with how well Greenway had played the 3 or 4 games prior to that, it got him back to where it looked like his game was good enough to play with those guys. But then the other thing, and then, you know, having Nick Bjugstad be the scratch and Rem Pitlick take his spot on the fourth line, I thought that created a really speedy fourth group that we saw last night. But then I think you're exactly right. The biggest message sent in all of it was to Kirill Kaprizov, that your game hasn't been good enough. Mm-hmm. We've given you the security blanket of Matt Zuccarello all year. Well, tonight we're going to play Zuccarello and Hartman with Fiala instead, and you're going to play with Rask and Gaudreau until we get your game going. And boy, I just thought from the drop of the puck last night, his game looked different. It looked like the game we saw last year, his explosiveness off the wall, his quick turns that created space. I mean, it's not, they did change the lines. He did end up scoring a couple of goals when he was back with Rask and Zuccarello right after penalty kills, but it was, I just thought his game looked different. And I think you're exactly right. I think the biggest thing that happened was message sent and message received.
Yes.
Has it been, you know, obviously last night Kirill had a 4-point game and whatever, and a lot of guys had multi-point games against Dallas with 7 goals scored. But I think throughout the season, we've seen a lot of guys unexpectedly step up and be goal scorers and point getters, you know, from Ryan Hartman to Rem Pitlick to some of these guys that you're like, where did this come from? This isn't what we would have expected heading into this season. Is that a good or a bad or both thing to see guys who you didn't expect to get points getting points, while some of the guys who maybe we were thinking would be scoring more aren't as much at this point in the season?
Well, it's an interesting way to look at it. It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I think when all's said and done, when the season's over and you look back, Kaprizov and Fiala are going to score. Mm-hmm. They're too good of players not to. Fiala, even though his numbers are down, mm-hmm. his effort level and intensity level has been really good all season long. And I thought last night he was great, even though he only ended up with 1 point in a 7-goal game. It's kind of worked that way for him. But those guys are going to score. So I think on one hand, it's great when you can still find ways to win and your depth guys are producing. Mm-hmm. But the only way this team makes any kind of noise in the postseason is if Kaprizov and Fiala are stars, not just contributors, they have to be stars. And that's what made this team different. Last year was the first time that they had multiple offensive stars on the same roster. And if they're going to go anywhere this year, those guys have to be great.
Right. And I, you know, we talk about it a lot. Some people feel like maybe there's an unfair pressure on Kaprizov, or maybe there's not enough pressure on Kaprizov. And, you know, oh, well, he didn't show up in the goal column, but he was assisting. But there were certainly games where he was invisible, right? And the work ethic maybe wasn't there night after night after night. And, you know, in some areas he did shine that might not have showed up in stats. But I mean, did you see a little bit of him kind of disappearing and pulling away a couple times so far early on the season? And again, it's early, so there's no need to panic. Yeah. But did you definitely notice that a little bit?
I did a little, and it's, you know, you kind of look back at it and you say, all right, well, if every guy in the league had their slumps be 11 points in 15 games, it's not a bad problem to have. But
right.
I do think he looked different. And when you bring up the pressure, I think that's interesting because the pressure is self-imposed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy that demanded that I want $9 million bucks for 5 years.
Right.
And then held out until the day before training camp started. So it's, I mean, this is on him. This isn't like the team came to him and said, by God, we want you to stand up on the platform and be the man. I mean, he brought this on himself. So when you do that and you hold out till the day before and you demand this big bucks, you are putting the spotlight on yourself. And so if there's any pressure, it's self-imposed for Kaprizov. And there should be pressure. If you want to be paid like a superstar, you have to play like a superstar. And I thought last night was the first time this season he looked like the superstar player that he was last year that had everybody so excited. And maybe it just takes a night like that to all of a sudden where you win some puck battles on the wall. I mean, the assist he made to Freddie Gaudreau for the goal out front where he beat two guys for a puck on the end wall, got Ryan Suter then to leave his man to come after him. So he basically drew three defenders to himself and still made the pass out front to Gaudreau for a tap-in. I thought that play stood out maybe more than any of his others to look like the old Kaprizov was back.
Right. The guy that looks like he's out on the pond just playing around, right? Like the creativity.
Men and playing with boys. I can spin, turn, explode. I'm faster than you. I'm stronger than you. I'm just better than you. And we just haven't seen that a lot this year.
Exactly. Well, and you mentioned too that with that money comes that superstar status. And I always point to Connor McDavid. Like he's taking on four defenders. I mean, guys are trying to shut him down too. And Connor McDavid is a freak. We talk plenty about him in segment one, but if you want to get that money, and I think McDavid has even said it time again, he's like, that's why they pay me what they do is to maybe not take on four guys every night, but to be able to do it if I need to and to score. And I think Kirill needs to understand that mindset a little bit better.
Yeah, probably. And I think the play to which you're referring with McDavid was he made that unbelievable play where he walked through four defenders. But I thought as impressive as the play was his comment after the game where he said, that's what I get paid to do. That's what I'm supposed to do.
And I
think players that have that kind of mindset are the type that succeed even with the big money in their bank account. And it's way too early to say Kaprizov doesn't have that.
Right.
I just think he needed a little eye opener this year and Dean gave it to him last night and he got the message. Now we'll see what happens moving forward. I mean, that it's not just one game and it was one game against a team that looked slow, tired and, you know, borderline disinterested last night, I thought, until the third period. So it'll be different on this trip against Florida and Tampa for sure.
You know, something else that I think we've noticed this year, at least through this point in the season, is definitely a shift in the environment and the culture of the guys on the Minnesota Wild roster. And I don't know, Anthony, if you guys took this interview on TV last night, we took it for the radio, but the Zuccarello interview post game, where he was basically saying like, you guys are too hard on Kirill. I mean, he didn't say it in that many words, but he was basically saying like, listen, he's doing a lot of things right. And he's basically just sticking up for him, defending him and saying, hey, he's doing just fine. And you know, yada, yada, yada. And I think that, you know, players sticking up for each other when it comes to those kind of things and saying, no, we see things differently, you know, in the locker room or on the ice than maybe you guys see. And just the way that these players support each other. Have you noticed a kind of a shift in that with this team so far this season?
Yeah, well, there's for sure been a change in culture. There's no question about that. In that specific area, I think guys have usually done that where, I mean, they usually will come to the defense of a teammate, but where it's different is, that, and I think the best example of it is Ryan Hartman. No matter where he's played, He hasn't changed his approach. He hasn't once gone to complain that, mm-hmm. I mean, the game that stands out to me is he had scored a goal the night before. In fact, I think it gave him 3 goals in 4 games. He was playing on the top line. Matt Zuccarello returns from the COVID list. So the next night, Hartman gets bumped down because they didn't want to disrupt the second or third lines. He mm-hmm. goes and plays on the fourth line and produces a goal that night. Then the next night, they move him to center on the third line, and he scores again. And it's it just doesn't seem to matter where he's playing, what position he's playing, with whom he's playing. He just goes out and competes. And whether he's getting 16 minutes or 18 minutes or 11 minutes, they're the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the kind of play that stands out more than, you know, standing up and defending mm-hmm. a teammate necessarily, just because – yeah, and we've seen some others too, like Matt Dumba, the way he spoke up and took responsibility mm-hmm. after the Vegas game and just came out and said, it's a terrible turnover by me. I can't make that mistake. I'll be mm-hmm. better in Seattle. Those are the kind of things that when you see that, you know, you've got something special going. And look, you don't win 7 games and come from behind fashion this mm-hmm. early in a season if you don't have tremendous chemistry, tremendous team concept of guys that truly put the team in front of themselves night after night after night. And Zuccarello is just another one of those guys. And I think what we've seen is that the change, the significant roster change in the last couple of years has allowed some other guys, even though some of the guys who left were really good NHL mm-hmm. hockey players, really good teammates and tremendous leaders. Like I have very few players I've watched throughout my time covering the league that I respect more than Mikko Koivu mm-hmm. with the way he played the game and the way he brought effort every single night. But when he's there, no young guy can step up and really be too much of a vocal leader or even a lead by example guy, right? Because it's okay, I can say this, but it's really still Miko's team.
Yeah.
And if Mikko scowls at you, that takes priority over anything I say. Now you've got some guys like Marcus Foligno and Matt Dumba and even Jared Spurgeon who can mm-hmm. now take a little bit more of a defining role in the way this team is made up. And I think we've seen that change.
And it's certainly been fun to witness too, just having been in the team and in both situations, right? When Mikko was a leader and when other players were in there, and to see the kind of a transformation, and not, again, no disrespect to Mikko and what he did, because I believe he was a completely different guy behind closed doors, even than what maybe we were privy to. So that's fun. You know, going back to Kaprizov and Zuccarello, and then I swear we'll stop talking about Kirill, but sure, we got to talk about Victor Rask and how clearly there is something that just works there, right? Like you had mentioned, Anthony, after the PK, those three ended up together, and we saw that line have such success last year, and we saw it again last night. I mean, what is it about Victor Rask that makes that work, that makes him that center that Kaprizov and Zuccarello need? Is it simply because he is that role player and he's able just to kind of fill in as needed, and not necessarily that he's this elite talent that we're not seeing? It's just that he just fits with that chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, there were times last year where when you watched him, you certainly thought, well, anybody could be that guy and, and pick up points with the how well Zuccarello and Kaprizov were connecting together. I mean, there were times where it was, well, I mean, I think you could throw Ryan Carter back in and all of a sudden he piled up assists. But now, you know, he has some offensive skill, and the pace of his game isn't quick enough, I don't think, on a mm-hmm. night in, night out basis to play with mm-hmm. Zuccarello and Kaprizov long term. But he makes a couple plays every night that he has great vision, he has good hands, and, you know, so I think it can work in the short term. But, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, then again, you look at last night. I mean, the goal he scored, he fans on a puck, it flutters up in the air, bonks off the goalie's forehead, and goes in the net. And, you know, so there is a little good fortune there too. But at the same time, you know, he's on the ice with those guys yeah. for the first shift after a penalty kill twice, and both times they score a goal. So, yeah. I mean, you can't just always call it luck. There has to be something mm-hmm. to it, that with the way those guys work together. And I think he does have a little bit of a vision and playmaking style to his game that fits with those guys.
Sure.
Do you think this is something that Jesse and I have talked about, I think, in at least the last like 4 or 5 episodes, which is the goalie tandem that the Minnesota Wild are cooking with last year and this year. And we talked about it preseason, you know, heading in, what are we going to get out of these guys this year? We've talked about it at length here early on in the season. What are your thoughts specifically about Cam Talbot and some of these close games the Wild have been in, a lot of close games actually, that he's been a big part of them winning. He's been great in OT, which the Wild have played in extensively in this season. Have you been impressed with him? Is there any concerns for you at this stage in his career and at this point in the season?
I have no concerns. I mean, I think he's been great. And, you know, I mentioned the come from behind wins earlier. In so many of those, when the Wild were down, he'd make a big save or two or three that would keep the deficit at one. And the comebacks aren't possible. Mm-hmm. If a 3-2 deficit had turned into 4-2, the game gets away. And instead, he's kept it at one and given the team time to get back in the game. And, you know, I mean, I don't think you'd look back at very many games and say it was goaltending that was the issue for Minnesota this year. The other thing about Cam is that, you know, he has a great sense in the game for when his team needs a whistle, when they want to keep the puck moving, those kind of things, when to come out and play the puck. You just don't see him make too many mental mistakes that way. He's a rigorous preparation guy. He's in great shape. He takes tremendous care of his body. His save percentage gets better each period of the game. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. We used him about three broadcasts ago, and I want to say his save percentage was like 89 in the first period, 90 in the second, and like 93.5 in the third. And then, of course, he's been perfect in overtime. And I think that's the kind of stuff, like even last night, Minnesota wins the game 7-2. They don't win the game 7-2 without the way Cam Talbot played in the third period. I mean, they came in with a 3-goal lead. Dallas quickly cuts it to 3-1, and then they were all over the Wild the rest of the way. I think they had 34 shot attempts in the third period after they had 33 in the first two combined. They woke up, Talbot held them at bay and allowed the Wild those answers and made it look a lot easier than it was. So I don't have any concerns with Talbot. And actually the concerns that I would have had with the goaltending were with Kakkonen prior to his last two starts. You know, I mean, I didn't think he looked great late last year, didn't look great in training camp, didn't look great in his first start this year. But then when they threw him in there and gave him the back-to-back games, not back-to-backs, but consecutive games, and I thought he played really well in both of them. And, you know, granted, the second one was in Arizona against maybe the league's worst team, but he still, I thought he looked good that night, and he had looked good at home the game before. I think, you know, I would guess we'll see him one of these two games against Florida or Tampa. And, you know, the Wild are going to need him. You cannot succeed in this league if your starter plays 70 games anymore. You just can't. Kakkonen's going to have to play 20-ish games. You're going to need him to win 10 to 12 games if you're going to be a contender, and it just has to happen.
All right, I'll say my piece. So I know Alexis wants me to. I have concerns, Anthony. I have concerns. I mean, they're not crazy concerns. I'm not hitting a panic button on Cam, but sometimes I feel like it's game by game with him once in a while. And I think there are times when I'm like, yep, I'm confident in what he's doing. And there are other times where I'm just like, I don't know. And a lot of that does go to your point, though, too, where I think maybe as a whole, I'm not confident in the tandem just yet. That tandem is not what it was last year, right? And I think you're absolutely right, Capo. Needed to get that win in order to get that confidence. So I hope we see more of the Capo that we had seen during that great stretch last year now moving forward. But I think there's just something in me that I'm like, I don't fully trust the tandem to be super successful, you know, and not to rely. And as we all know, you need a solid goaltending tandem to head into playoffs and to move through playoffs, more importantly. So I hope I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but there's just that little voice inside of me that's like, if I had to nitpick, I'm just not as confident in Talbot and Capo as I was last year. I just see
when you look back, I mean, Cam hasn't stolen any games yet this year.
Yeah,
and
right.
There haven't been very many that have needed to be stolen. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's a little, but at some point your goalie has to win you a couple of games. There have to be a few games where you're a little flat, you get outplayed, and he steals one. But like, so let's say the San Jose game on Tuesday night, which was one where, you know, they got outplayed. Maybe your goaltender finds a way to steal it for you. But then you look back at the goals, and I mean, one's a cross ice backhand saucer pass for a tap in goal by Ferraro. There's nothing you can do. Another one is a total defensive breakdown that leaves Timo Meier uncovered on a backdoor rebound play that deflects off of a guy's hockey pants right to Timo Meier. He has no chance.
You call them hockey pants and not breezers?
I go with breezers, but I've been listening to Wes for a long time. He keeps telling me they're hockey pants, so I thought we'd go with hockey pants in his honor. But I mean, the only one that you'd look back and say maybe he could have had that one is the blast by Carlson. And let's just keep in mind, this is a 95 mile an hour slap shot to the upper corner and by a guy who's scored a ton of goals in his career from that same spot. So yeah maybe he had a good look at it, and he maybe that's one you'd say that's one where a great goaltender bails you out. But I mean, the other three goals are goals on which he had no chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look last night, the second goal, the one that Jamie Benn scores, he makes two saves, and Ben on the third rebound is able to tap it by him. I mean, it's hard to fault that. So
yeah.
Take that one away, and you know, you're talking about a guy who gave up one goal on 38 shots. So, I mean, I think it's the team's played so well that there hasn't been a night where you just needed him to stand on his head, and therefore it hasn't looked like he's been necessarily brilliant, mm-hmm. but he's been really solid most of this season.
Yeah. So we're both kind of right on this, I guess. We literally go back and forth.
I'll
on
accept
this, Anthony,
that. I'm not saying
week.
You're wrong. I'm just saying I don't think it's time to hit the panic button.
I'm not panicking. There's just something about it. I don't know. It's like that little like feeling. I'm like, eh. It's
I'm on right, the same page as you, Anthony, if it makes you feel any better. Fred,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
if
you're
Fred
on the right page. Yeah.
Fred's undecided at this point in time, I think.
I'll ride the fence the whole way.
He'll make a decision in game 82.
Well done,
feels.
Fred.
Yeah.
So we've talked enough about hockey for a little while here. I want to know, you work very closely with Michael Russo. You guys obviously have a podcast together, and you guys travel together. You do lots of stuff together. Minnesotans here love their Michael Russo. Do you have any great Russo stories that you can share with our fan base, because we love to joke about him from time to time, and you've got to have a good story or two.
Well, yeah, we've got, well, there's a lot, but there's one good one that makes me laugh when I think about it, because it was early in my time with the Wild, and it's actually a Russo combined with Kevin Gorg story that
even better.
Let's just say there's a different stress level inside me compared to inside Russo and Gord both. And so there, we have some fun with that over the years, and they will tell you that I'm the one that's nuts, and I'd say the opposite. But so we're, this story goes back a few years, but we were, I think it was 2014, and the Wild were in a bit of a skid late in the season. They were playing poorly. They had just gotten blown out in St. Louis a couple nights earlier, and there was a lot of talk about, is Mike Yeo's job in jeopardy? I should add that a lot of that talk was being fueled by Russo, like, I wonder if the coach is on the hot seat stuff. But we go to Arizona, and we're going to play the Coyotes, and then I think we had the Kings the next night on a back-to-back maybe, and then going to Chicago on this road trip. And there were maybe 7 or 8 games left in the season. And the Wild were still in a playoff spot, but they were only ahead by a point or two. And so Russo the night before is in full-fledged panic mode. And then we go to dinner before the game in the little area by the rink in Arizona. And it's me, Russo, Kevin Gorg, and Chad Graff, who was at that time covering the Wild for the Pioneer Press. We order our food, and Russo is just like, yeah, this team is done. They are dead. There are no playoffs. It's done. And Gorg, who just is like, oh, no. I mean, no, they got to make the playoffs. They got to make the playoffs. And Russo is, I was like, guys, they're going to make the playoffs. They're fine. They're going to. And Russo is just, they're not fine. They got this problem. They got this problem. They got this problem. And so Gorg, who had just gotten his food, shoves his food away. He's so nervous he can't eat. And, you know, Chad Graff and I are just eating our dinner, and so they're going to make the playoffs. And he finally got to the point where he took his glasses off, chucked them on the table, says, you pull out the schedule and point to me the games they're going to win between here and the finish. And I mean, so now these two guys are, well, I think they'll probably win tonight against Arizona. They'll probably win in LA tomorrow night, and they'll be fine. And as it turns out, that's what happened. They ended up making the playoffs, and that was the year they beat Colorado in the first round of the playoffs. But he will tell the same story, and just say, it just pisses me off that you don't worry about that stuff. I mean, if I was on the coaching staff, I might worry about it, but I'm just the TV guy. I mean, I don't have any impact on the outcome of the game. So those are the kind of stories that stand out. I mean, there's a million of them that are like that, that, you know, he tells a story that, you know, about a time when he panicked because I was late getting back to a booth in Edmonton before an intermission deal we were going to do, where he's sprinting back and forth in the press box trying to figure out how are we going to get on the air if LaPanta's not back from the restroom. And so there's those things just happen nightly. And actually, I'll give you one other one that was good. It was in that playoff series against Colorado. So it's game 7 in Denver. And if you remember, the Wild came from a goal down 4 times in that game. And so they tie the game, and it's going to go into overtime. And with about 4 minutes left, they were down 1. So at that time, Russo's writing for the Star Trib, not the Athletic. So he's got a deadline. Well, the stories are all written, right? I mean, Colorado's ahead 4-3 in game seven. It's the series is over. What a good run, a competitive series. Well, Spurgeon scores with 3.5 minutes left, and now it's going OT. So we get to the OT intermission, and I walk down the hallway to where Russo's writing, and I just say, hey, Michael, did this change your story at all? And he turns and screams like, not now, LaPanta. And everybody in the press box turns and like, what is going on over there? And I just kind of laughed. And so he's got some buttons that can be pushed from time to time, and they're not very easy to target. They're not very difficult to target.
No, I love it. I love just the rapport you guys all have together. It's so fun to watch. Like, I just like sitting there in that room and just laugh. I'm like, this is so great. This entertains me while we're waiting and waiting and waiting for whomever to talk. Right.
Right. The hurry up and wait times. Yeah, no doubt. It's a lot of hours over the course of a hockey season, and the travel can get long. I mean, it's a lot of time away from home, but because of the fact that the people that with whom we travel and go out for dinners on the road and have drinks and go, throw darts and shoot pool and just kind of BS around the rink. It's, if you didn't have the right kind of people with you, the season can really be a grind. And those guys are among those that just make it fun. They allow us to laugh at each other and have a good time with it over the course of the year.
Right. And you went into Seattle, right? How was Seattle? How's that arena in that facility?
Seattle's awesome.
Yeah.
We've already been there twice, and it's unfortunately both times we've been there, it's been just kind of rainy and lousy weather, but it's the arena is beautiful. They really did a great job with it. And yeah, I mean, all of everything from the scoreboards, which are like no other rink, the way the rink is structured, you come in like street level is the upper deck, and then everything is down below ground. And so the ceiling is really low. So they couldn't hang like a traditional hockey scoreboard in the middle of the ice because you wouldn't have been able to see the ice. Mm-hmm. So they put two triangular scoreboards in each end. So wherever you are in the building, when you look to one end of the rink, you are looking at a scoreboard above that zone, basically, it is cool. And it's, for a broadcaster, it's awesome because as you look like to your left, for example, you've got a scoreboard right above the net that has the video and the time and the penalty time and all that stuff right on it. So that's cool. And all they have the locker room facilities are phenomenal. And they have all these like specialty lounges for suite holders and season ticket holders and things. All of that is really well done. And I love their logo. I'm not exactly fully on board, but the logo is cool. And just the coloring and the sound and everything inside the arena was great. And I think the city will be a great addition to the travel cycle in the league. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't tie it together with Vancouver. So like, we go west, we played Seattle twice. We only go to Vancouver once. That we go to Edmonton twice and Calgary once. I mean, it seems strange they didn't make those ties easier, but I think Seattle would be a great addition to the travel circuit. It's a fun city.
Right. Well, before we let you go, I do have to ask, as all of our fans clamor, I'm just a writer. They want to know how they can watch more of you, Anthony. I'm sure you have a whole lot of say in that, but what do you like? For fans that want to watch the game and they're gripe, what do you say back to them at all? Like, I know Audra and I were talking. She's like, I have no control over this, you guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you talking about like the carriage stuff with the streaming and everything? Yes. When people come up to me and ask me about it, I always just tell them, look, I mean, you can watch it. It's there. You just have to choose to subscribe to what you can get it. And I fully respect people who say, it's not valuable enough to me to get it. But I always just tell them, like, if you want it, it's there. If you want to see it, subscribe to a service that has it. There are other channels. There are other things that like the streaming options have that satellite TV does not. And to me, those aren't valuable. So I don't subscribe to some of those services. I mean, if you want to watch Office reruns, you have to sign up for Peacock. that's just the way it works. I mean, you have to do it. And so is it valuable enough for you to do it? I mean, there are shows that are only on Apple TV or only on Netflix or whatever it might be. Well, you don't hear people complaining about that. They just either subscribe to it or don't. If you want to watch hockey and the only thing you want to do is stream, AT&T streaming service has it. And so I always just kind of, I mean, it's not my area either. So I have nothing to do with it. They're not calling me to ask me, hey, how much you think we should charge people for this? But I always just tell, like, if you want to have it, you can get it. And if it, if you don't find value in it, then I respect that, yeah. But then you can't complain about it. So I mean, you can't go to a car lot and say, I want a Cadillac, but I want to pay for a Prius. I mean, that isn't the way it works. If you want the Cadillac, you have to pay for the Cadillac and then you get it and you get all the features that come with it.
Yeah. And drive away with it. Enjoy it. It's great.
Exactly.
It's
and enjoy fine. Every minute of it. Exactly. And don't begrudge the guy in the Prius for having a smaller car payment. I mean, that, you made that choice. So there you go.
There you go. Exactly. I love that, Anthony. Well, thank you again so much for taking the time out of your busy day to join us. I know you're heading off to Florida. Should be a tough one against the Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning, but we look forward to watching it because I buy the Cadillac and I look forward to cheering.
That's good.
Wild.
Just remember, some people depend on you subscribing to the Cadillac.
Yeah.
Just for you and the charcuterie board. That's why I do it.
Yeah, I like it. Thanks.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
3, 2, 1. Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just wanted to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
Thanks to LaPants. Appreciate it. I would like LaPants. To get invited. LaPants.
What is that, like the French version?
Yeah.
LaPants.
LaPants. I would like to get invited over for some charcuterie.
Yeah.
For some steak.
Red wine.
Maybe go to
yeah.
Italy with him. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever he wants to do. Replace Russo with us. I think sounds like a fair. That goes across the board. Yeah. Everywhere. Replace Russo with the Butte. So just kidding, Russo. Love ya. Anyway, let's get to this week's Up for Debate. Alexis, you came up with another good one, another what surprises you most situation. So we wanted to know what aspect of the Minnesota Wild season has surprised you the most, for better or for worse, right? So has it been the bad special teams? Has that been surprising? Has it been the comebacks? Has that been surprising? And has it been the points leader, Ryan Hartman? Has that been surprising? What say you, Miss Alexis?
I think that who the leaders have been on this team points wise and who haven't has been the most surprising to me. I mean, teams go through stretches of bad special teams, and yeah, it's been a little bit more below average than usual for the Wild this season. Comeback wins, I could give or take. Some have been surprising where it's like, well, they did it again. But I think that this team is good enough to, you know, win comeback games. But definitely the guys who've been leading the way have really impressed me. And we talked about this with Anthony LaPanta, like, is that a good thing or a bad thing that there's, you know, some of the guys who we thought were going to be getting points aren't really up there as much. And some of the guys who we didn't think would contribute this much have been contributing. Right. But I think this is what you need. Those superstars will get rolling. Kevin Fiala will start to get points. Kirill Kaprizov has been tallying up points, more assists than goals, but he's been racking up points. Those guys leading the way offensively, as far as superstars go, will have their goals and their assists on the season. So it's nice to see that there's been other guys stepping up and getting goals. Ryan Hartman, Rem Pitlick, guys like that, who you're like, holy cow, he scored again. Like, and Rem Pitlick getting a hat trick and all this stuff. And so that has been surprising to me, and the consistency of it. It's not like they come out and they have one good game and then it's like, oh, that was an unexpectedly good game from that player. Night after night, these guys who are on the third and fourth line are getting moved around, like Ryan Hartman is, or guys who we didn't think were going to be maybe racking up as many points, especially with guys like Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, and Kevin Fiala in the lineup. It's just been really impressive in a good way, and hopefully they can keep doing this, because I think having depth on a team is one of the most important, like, intangible things that you can have for any sport, knowing that you can put anybody out there and they'll get the job done. Especially on nights where if your superstars aren't clicking, other guys will pick up the pace and all of that. So I've been really impressed with that. It's been a surprise, I think, for not just me, but for a lot of Wild fans and even just other people around the league looking at this team thinking like, oh my God, Ryan Hartman is leading the team in goals. You wouldn't have expected that at the beginning of the season. So it's a surprise, but a pleasant surprise. Jesse, agree or disagree with me?
I mean, I agree with you. We don't need to battle every single week, right? I agree. It's hard, and it's hard not to, right? Because I think that is the most surprising. I think you saw bad special teams last year, and you saw comebacks galore last year. So neither of those really are that surprising. I would argue that special teams is kind of on the up and up. It's just up and I mean, it's up and down, I guess, consistent. More so. Right. But yeah, I mean, I think Ryan Hartman, as we talked about with Damian Zitani last year, if you had asked if he was going to be the leading scorer, he's not up there at all. Mm-hmm. I could have listed 100 and he's consistently the scorer. Right. I mean, you go
and again, he's like scoring good goals. It's not like like these lucky, like, oh, sure, he was left wide open and scored. It's like he's making good plays and involved in good plays and scoring goals.
Right. Like you saw Marcus Foligno and Jules Eriksson-Ek get hot at the beginning, but they've been kind of quiet, which is fine, you know, and because you have guys like Rem Pitlick Ryan Hartman. Wow. Ryan Hartman. We're talking about him.
We've said his name 80 times. That's okay.
Said his name 80 times. Yes. So not to continue repeating exactly what you said, but yeah, I mean, I think without question, having that depth, and that's going to carry this team forward. So it's exciting. It's a good thing. And not to mention, you still have guys like Adam Beckman, Marco Rossi, Matt Boldy down in Iowa who could come up and make an impact at any time. So very promising. It's good to have the depth. It's good that they're all wearing a Minnesota Wild jersey, as Dino likes to say.
He did say that at the post-game press conference against Dallas.
He jabbed at it. Yes. It's funny. I felt a lot of jabs from Dean last night. Toward
a lot
media.
Of jabs from everybody. The guys were feeling feisty last
night. They apparently
the
don't like
conference.
Us coming for Kirill. I don't know. What Fair. Stand by what we did. So so that's gonna do it for this week's episode. Again, we appreciate all of you to the umpteenth degree. I apologize, Fred, for hitting my microphone. Please don't fire me. You guys, seriously, absolutely amazing. Like it's bigger than I could have ever dreamed. When Fred was like, "You want to do a podcast?" I was like, sure, why not? And then I was like, "Hey, Alexis, girl, I don't know. Let's go have lunch and you're gonna do a podcast with me." And here we are 100 episodes later. Looking at the guest list, truly a freaking unbelievable situation. And we're just so excited to provide you guys with different content. Hopefully you guys find it informative and fun more than anything. That's really what we try to bring you guys each and every week. Just a little bit of fun because it's sports, baby. Mm-hmm. What's not to have fun with, right? It's sports, have fun. So appreciate all of you. Don't forget, I gave you guys all homework in segment one. Please let us know when you started listening, why you started listening, what keeps you listening. You can give us a 1-star too and tell us what you hate about it. That's fine. We'll probably just
all reviews are good reviews.
You start chirping some hometowns though, Jesse.
Yes.
I know. I'll bring it back. You know, I got some on the list. Southern Minnesota. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're all about.
What are we talking? Albert Lee, Austin?
Yeah. I mean,
the Spam Museum's in Austin.
The Spam Museum. Yeah.
How could we? It adds to my reason.
Spam Museum is amazing. I love that place.
Says a lot about you. Says a lot about Fred. So, as always, thank you to Talk North for featuring us on their Kick Butt Network. Shout out to the Fab Five too, because I feel like you are our OG fans, always there, always supporting. So thank you guys particularly for helping us get to that next level. And to all of you guys, not to call them out, but to call them out because they're our boys. Fans. They're super fans. Shout out to Soda Stick, who's also a super fan, creating the Marcus Foligno Fan Club T-shirt. Be sure you get those. And the jerseys.
Oh, I thought you were going to have it underneath. I'm like, you got one more merch on?
No, I don't.
I thought you were going to have the Foligno shirt, right? You're going to be like t-shirt guy.
When Mike
Modano
showed up to do the Let's Play Hockey and he took off the Dallas Stars jersey and had the North Stars jersey underneath, that was Fred right there.
Oh, I don't remember that. That sounds awesome. When was that?
Yeah, wasn't it Mike Modano? Or no, it was not Mike Modano. It was, hang on. Jesse, you know who it is.
Actually, I had some music behind us and post.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It wasn't.
I got
like
you.
Just the metronome just clicking. Just
I'll
waiting.
Think of it eventually. Remind me in episode 101 to say who it was.
Dallas Stars jersey took it off to a North Stars jersey.
Yep.
Mike Modano makes sense in that situation. I don't know who else.
It wasn't Mike Modano though.
PJ Fleck.
Hey, wrap the show and I'll look it up while you're doing that.
shout out. So Soda Stick, Bar Down Beauties will get you 15% off all purchases. Shout out to Jim Beam. Cheers again. Winter, you know what? We love it. Sauce over some of your drinks that you'd like us to make with Jim Beam. Maybe we'll do something cool with that. Tony Hoagland at statefarminsurance.com. And to all of you.
It was Neil Broughton.
Okay.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. way significantly less cool than Mike.
You want to know what I Googled?
Neil Broughton is a very proud Minnesota guy on top of it all.
I Googled, I said, let's play hockey, Dallas jersey to Wild jersey. Google never fails. Thanks, Google.
Google never fails. That's true. Glad we all sleep easy
Thanks
tonight.
Thanks for coming along on that, right, guys?
Knowing
this is a great postscript to the show, right?
This
there.
Is good. This is Google all. This fails. Is why we reached 100 episodes, is this chaos right here. That's
probably because most
you.
People tune out before we get to this point. So
yeah,
that's
they're
why
definitely like, you know what? If you listen this far again, I want you to put a little emoji, comment with a little emoji. I don't care what emoji it is, just comment with an emoji.
It's gonna be a shit emoji.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Do it, whatever. And maybe a star. So that's it. Let's wrap. I'm ending it. We're done. Goodbye. That sounds creepier than the hello. Okay, bye.